Good afternoon and welcome to Chatabout. I'm Todd Haugen, and today we have a preview of the meeting of the Bemidji School Board that happens later today. My guests are school board member Jeff Hack again this month and also Bemidji Superintendent of Schools Tim Lutz. Gentlemen, welcome back to Chatabout.
Good morning, Todd. Thank you for having us.
Well, it's another meeting in what is kind of a difficult time for the district as budget cuts have been dominating the news coming out of the district over the last several weeks, ever since the election, actually, I guess. And tonight looks like more challenges will face the district. So the meeting is at 6:30 tonight for the Bemidji School Board. Is the board meeting together now?
Yes, actually, we've been meeting in person since the beginning of the school year, actually. We felt that if we were asking students to be in school, we should be able to meet in person. But we do have to limit the number of people who are in the boardroom to 21 based on our square footage. And but when we end up with a few people every now and then who need to be there, that causes our numbers to go over 21, we just put them in an overflow area, and people can come in and speak if they want to, but we are meeting in person.
Well, first item on the agenda following consent for the 6:30 meeting tonight is a COVID update. Who will provide that, Tim?
That's usually something that I've been providing, and in the past it has been mostly taking a look at our county numbers and our numbers of COVID cases and quarantine situations in the district. And I'll still touch on that a little bit, but I'll also touch on our plans to respond to the governor's call to get secondary students back into school. Now, he did indicate that today, February 22nd, for some schools could be the day they bring students back. But that was a very unrealistic date for many school districts. If there were some that were already planning, that is a day today that that those districts can do that. For most of the districts throughout the state, it'll be a lot more challenging to do that. We have to have meetings. We have to do some measurements. We have to do some additional planning for different ways of doing lunch. But we are hoping that one of our first meetings can be this coming Wednesday in the afternoon when we meet with the district-wide incident command team, the COVID team, and hopefully we can discuss all of the things that we need to do to make sure we can get our students back and hopefully set a date for doing that. And my hope is that we can bring our secondary students back full-time sometime within the next 2 or 3 weeks. A lot is dependent upon that, and if we do that, we will still need to have Wednesdays acting as a distance learning day because we are still required to provide distance learning to a number of students who still will not be coming back, and we'll need to provide that preparation time for teachers. But still, coming in 4 days a week would be better than 4 days every 2 weeks for our middle and high school students.
So the governor wants kids back in school, but the expectation is that districts will enact measures to keep kids farther apart than they used to be, right? That's the complication?
Well, it yes and no. In some cases, yep, still farther apart during the day when feasible. But when it's not feasible, we need to guarantee that we can keep students, let's say, sitting in their desks at least 3 feet apart. And right now, we know that if all of our students, or even the great majority, come back so that we merge the A week with the B week, we will not be able to keep seating charts at 6 feet. So what we need to do is take a look at our classrooms, take a look at how many students we expect to be seated in each classroom, because right now we're probably seeing 12 or 13 students on average in a classroom. When they come back, merging A and B week, we're talking 25 or 26 or even 30 in a class, and we need to make sure that we have the capacity and the ability to keep them separated enough to make that doable. In addition, we have to restructure our lunch, breakfasts and lunches with seating charts, and make sure that we have everything in order to assist us in contact tracing situations if and when that were to come up too in a situation like that. So there are a few things that we still need to do. I know people are anxious to get students back into school, and the kids are very anxious, so are the teachers. But we still have to do a couple of weeks of planning in order to do that safely.
Have you heard of any school districts in the state where COVID-19 has gotten a foothold and has spread through the student population within a district?
There are a few. That was early on, probably back in November, December, and now many of these school districts have gotten a better handle on things. But there have been situations where, through community spread, some schools have either had to shut down their classrooms, their schools, their entire building, or their transportation department because it's spread amongst their bus drivers. So it has happened, and so that does go to show you that if we aren't diligent about our masking, social distancing, our control of traffic flow, how we handle our breakfasts and lunches, and of course hygiene with washing of hands and so on, it could still happen in a school district. Now with more and more vaccinations taking place, we're more optimistic that we can continue to do everything else that we're doing and keep everyone safe. But we have to do our homework first, make sure everything is in order. And I would also like to add that when the governor made his announcement, we looked at ourselves and thought, you know, we're doing almost all of these things already. And many of our secondary students are in school more often than many students are across the state. And all of our elementary students have been in for the entire school year. So we've already been ahead of the game, and we know that we can do these things safely.
Some of the schools in our area that our district, just by the way law works, that there can be other schools functioning, public schools within your school district, some of the schools that we're forced to compete with have remained open for elementary and secondary students. Is that right?
That is correct, yep. Mostly in terms of the elementary, but some with the secondary as well. And, you know, they've struggled like we have, too. There have been situations, but they have been able to do that.
It just makes it hard for a district to compete. I mean, I just don't understand how they do it. When part of our budget problem that I think you've pointed out before is that we've lost kids from this school mm-hmm. district, and you have to assume part of the reason might be that their families prefer a school where there's full-time school going on. It's a tough spot to be in, isn't it?
It's very tough. And another reason that we've lost is families who wanted to be full-time distance, just on the other side of the spectrum.
Right.
But instead of choosing to be part of our distance learning academy, they went with a home-based online academy elsewhere. So between the two, yes, we've found it very difficult and challenging to compete.
Well, Tim and Jeff, I don't know, Jeff, do you have any comment on any of that stuff so far?
I think Tim hit on most of it. It's just been a very challenging situation. As he said, there's really no way to win completely. If there is a win there, some families are going to choose a solution for their kids, which is rightfully so. That's their choice, that they want to be full distance or full in person and choose elsewhere. And there's not much we can do about that.
This is the part of the process where the district is being forced to focus on the expense side of the equation because of the operating levy referendum that failed in November, when also we need to focus on the other side that can possibly generate revenue. I'm sure you're doing that, and we don't really see that because the trying to reduce expenses is taking so much of the spotlight right now.
That's correct.
That's exactly right.
Decisions,
go ahead, Jeff.
Many of the decisions we have to make on the expense side are time-based.
Right.
You know, so there's things we have to do by certain dates statutorily, and that's what creates the headlines, where we don't necessarily have to make those decisions on the revenue side according to any particular timeline.
When a district loses some of its students, that means that it loses part of its money, because each one of those students, districts are compensated for by the state. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's exactly right. And what makes it even more challenging is that as we look at cuts, we will have to let some teachers go, if maybe only temporarily, but we have to do that because statute requires that we make that decision in April. we won't know yet until sometime towards middle or late May what the legislature will do to help school districts with funding, either ongoing funding formula adjustments or other one-time support funds for the districts after in relating to COVID. So the timing doesn't help us very much either, but as Jeff said, we have to make these cuts earlier rather than later, and then some of the other work we'll be doing with revenue side of things will have to come later.
Well, following the COVID reports, hopefully on a more pleasant note, some donations to talk about in the meeting tonight?
Yes. You know, it's always nice when you have generous people in the community or generous organizations. And Bemidji Steel is donating $1,000 to the Mechatronics Career Academy. We're very grateful for that. Bemidji Bus Lines has donated $1,000 to Mechatronics and the Automotive Technology Academy. So thank you to those two organizations and businesses. Then we had a couple in town, a retired couple, who actually have a strong connection with the school district. They used to work for the district, Howard and Darlene Schultz. Together donated $2,000 to support the district. And that was something they did, like a lot of other people who have been disappointed with the fact that the referendum did not pass. And so they're sharing what they believe is at least equal to, if not above and beyond, what the referendum would have meant for them had the referendum passed. So we're grateful for that support from them. And then the Bemidji Elks Lodge has donated $500 to our homeless program, the Lodge 1052 here in town. So thank you to these individuals and organizations for their support.
Well, following the donation summary in the meeting, class size report is next item under equitable student achievement. How are class sizes?
Well, as you can imagine, with COVID, it's a lot better than it probably would be in a normal year. But we can report that, and I'll be providing this update tonight, that every effort has been made to balance class sizes, and all of our elementary classes are under our recommended guidelines. There's not a single class there that exceeds guidelines. The same is true for the middle school pods and just a few high school. We have 399 total classroom sections this semester at the high school, and only 12 of those exceed guidelines, and the great majority are exceeding by only one or two students. So we're doing well with our class size report.
And then an online learning update, Tim, does that come from you?
Nope, that'll come from a couple of our principals at the middle and high school level, and then from Colleen Cardenuto, our Director of Administrative Services, and just progress reporting on our goal to have a permanent online school here in ISD 31, because we've moved the needle forward with technology, and we realize that for many students, online or a partial online presence is a way that students might learn best, or because of situations in their lives, it can help them be able to continue learning if they have an online option.
So many schools are probably going to be offering an online option, and districts almost are forced to have that as an alternative for those that continue to want to distance learn, right?
That is exactly right. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we lost some students to virtual online academies, and we would like to offer something that might bring some of those students back to the district.
Well, following the online learning update, a summer school update, what's planned for summer?
Well, as you know, the governor is really pushing a robust summer school program so that we can help students catch up and not fall further behind in the learning gap because of COVID. And so the state legislature is hopefully going to provide a lot of additional funding for a more ramped up summer school program. And one of the things that district administrators across the state are doing is lobbying to get that information on how much we will receive sooner rather than later, because we need to make plans, start organizing, start hiring summer school staff and figuring out what to do. And we cannot wait until the end of the legislative session sometime in May. So we're asking legislators to make decisions and provide us with this funding and to let us know how much as early as late February or early March, if we can.
All right. Then a report on vaccine partnerships, Tim?
Yeah, and I'll be asking our HR director, Jordan Hickman, to provide that report. He, along with our district nurse, Emily Helm, have done wonderful work in a very organized way, initially with our contact tracing efforts, and they've done great work there. So now they've utilized their skills to develop vaccine clinics and vaccine pilots with the support of the state of Minnesota's, you know, Department of Health, Department of Education, along with Beltrami County Health, and a couple of other organizations, Leech Lake, Indian Services, Red Lake, and we've really appreciated this collaboration with these agencies and organizations in our wider community. And so Mr. Hickman is going to provide an update on the really successful vaccination efforts that have occurred within the district amongst our staff. Numbers-wise, he'll provide that and an acknowledgement of the great support we've received from the community.
The meeting will move on to High Quality District, and then again, the first item would probably be taking some discussion, I would assume, organizing and altering district facilities. What's the plan there?
Right, and that's a three-pronged effort, and one of those is that due to our significant budget projections, we are looking at restructuring and altering the use of three of our buildings. One of them will be our community ed building, and we're looking at closing that one and moving the staff and programming there to another building. We're still working on the exact situation with that, but then we're hoping that we can either lease or sell that community education building. We are also looking at what we are going to do with Central. Central, in some of my language, I state that Central is the district's oldest school. It is actually, because of a fire that occurred, it is 7 years newer than J.W. Smith. But J.W. Smith has had a lot of additional work done and additions made over the years. So in terms of average square footing, we see J.W. Smith as actually a slightly newer building. But Central is definitely one of our smallest and one of our oldest buildings, with only 97 students and a projected 103 students next year. And looking at fiscal responsibility, we see the need to close that building or propose closing it, or at least repurposing it and moving students from there to other elementaries where there is room. I want to make sure people know that we have toured the buildings, we've looked at the classrooms. This will not result in overcrowding classrooms because we can move one or two students into classrooms that have room in other elementary buildings, and where we end up with a larger classroom than we want, we will create a new classroom. Most of the teachers will be moving with these students, so there will be teachers who can teach these students in additional classrooms. We might have to cut two or three of the teachers, but the majority of them will move. And I want to make sure people know that, you know, we have two elementary schools, J.W. Smith and Central, and they're very close to each other. And that's also one of the factors. So we will make sure that transportation will still be provided for students at Central. And I also want to point out that we will not be officially closing Central in any action tonight. That will come at the next board meeting. We want to get it out there and then provide opportunity at the next board meeting for public comment from people. What we are doing tonight simply is passing a motion allowing the district leadership to begin making plans and looking into what we're going to do with these three buildings. So I've mentioned the community ed building. I've mentioned Central now. The third prong is to look at the Paul Bunyan Center. And again, because of the need to reduce close to $300,000 in overhead costs and programming, we are making a recommendation that we restructure how that building is operated and moving some of those classes of early learning to neighborhood schools. And I have actually corresponded with the Minnesota Department of Education, and they're aware of this, and they see this as something that can be done in a way that really supports learning in elementary schools that are neighborhood elementary schools, so families can have their youngest learners in the same buildings with perhaps an older brother or older sister. And one of the goals for doing this is to make transitions into kindergarten more seamless, because if you're in the same building as the kindergarten class is, or the first grade class, and you're an early learner pre-K student, you already will know what the building looks like, how it operates, you'll know many of the teachers, and we hope that this will make it a much more seamless transition into kindergarten in the years to come for the children who are in these neighborhood schools. And this will result in savings of about $300,000 in cuts, but we will still hold on to the Paul Bunyan building, keep ECFE there, a few other programs, so that we can still continue to utilize a very nice, more modern building.
So save about $300,000 there. How much would be saved if Central is closed, Tim?
We are looking at between $450,000 and $500,000 in savings there.
Do most of the students that attend Central, are they neighborhood kids? Are they walking to school or being taken to school, or are they being bused from outside the area?
It is interesting. There are about 15 or 20 students who are being bused in from as far west as the Wilton area. So they actually have a longer bus ride than they would have if we decided to redistrict and move them to Solway School. They would have a much shorter ride. So that, in that sense, it makes sense. Some of those students could go to Solway, and there is room there in the Solway Elementary School for those students. I would say a good number of students are neighborhood schools, but some of them live between Central and J.W. Smith, so it would be a fairly seamless move for many of them.
And there's room for that many students at J.W.?
There is room for that many students there, and we are also looking, some students who live still further on the south or east side will be redistricted to go to Horace May or to Lincoln Elementary. So we'll be dividing those students up into at least four different elementary schools. So there will definitely be room, and this will not cause any single classroom to become overcrowded.
And assuming the board approves this move at the next meeting, as you said, this would commence, it would begin in the next school year, 21 through 22?
Yes, that's correct. And we have Rob Wicklin from the Transportation Department already working on redistricting maps. And the next step is to see exactly how many students this would affect in terms of which building elementary schools they would eventually go to.
Jeff, do you have some comments on these rather difficult matters?
Yeah, nobody wants to make these decisions, but they are things that have to be done. If it's not Central and Paul Bunyan Center and the community ed building, it would have to be something else. The number of students that our student body lost this year is 280. That's significant. As Tim said, there was only projected to be slightly over 100 at Central next year. So, any one of these moves doesn't completely solve the problem that we have. I've had a few constituents point out that, not that many years ago, we created a brand new building in Gene Dillon because of an overcrowding issue. And at that time, our student body was growing, and we did need the space. COVID and the pandemic has kind of changed that landscape, where now we have to make very different decisions.
The district has the statutory authority to levy more in property taxes, more fees on people's property taxes locally. Is that correct?
So we are able to levy a certain number of fees, and we are very close, if not at the maximum amount that we are able to levy without additional operating levy through an election of some type. Tim, is that correct?
That is correct, yep. We're just shy of that, and we could re-up that. We wouldn't be able to do that until late this fall, and then it would be applicable to the following school year. But we are also talking about another operating referendum because many of the people, our stakeholders in the community, have said that they would support something now that they see just how serious our shortfall is in the budget.
And that potentially, and that is up for discussion this evening, but that could potentially be this coming fall, this special election?
Correct. We're looking at another November election. It would be a special election just for the district, outside of any other statewide, county, or national election, of course. So it would probably, our message would become well heard and listened to by the community, because it wouldn't be drowned out by all of the other elections that took place this past year.
Well, gentlemen, we have really used up our time and more today, but this is a rather important time to be talking about these topics. But just so we can end on a positive note, I see School Board Recognition Week is coming up, and a longtime board member is going to be winning an award or has been named to an honor roll.
Yes, it's great to be able to celebrate the hard work that school board members do. And Ann Long Volkner has been on the school board for 20 years and the MSBA, Minnesota School Board Association, and ISC 31 would like to recognize her for those many, many years of service to our community. And she has sat on a number of statewide boards as well. And so we'd like to recognize her for her dedication and service.
Very good. Anything just to close with quickly, gentlemen, that I'm sure there's a lot of things we weren't able to get to today, but anything you really wanted to be sure we mentioned today?
I would just like to echo what Jeff Hack said, that this is not something we like doing. These are very difficult decisions that take a lot of effort and courage to undertake. And there are also a lot of rumors out there. There was a rumor that we were going to be closing three elementary schools, that we were going to be moving, you know, this year, eighth graders to the high school, things like that. The only decision we're making tonight has to do with these three buildings, the Community Ed, the Paul Bunyan Center, and Central. And a lot of other decisions we will not need to do even this year because we're getting a better handle now and we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Jeff, anything additional?
I'd just like to thank the staff, the teachers and the administration for rolling with the punches this past year and the adversity we're seeing. We recognize the extra amount of work that everybody's putting in. And to the public out there, if you're interested in watching the board meeting, I believe we're on the YouTube channel out there if they want to see what's going on.
All right. Very good, guys. The meeting begins at 6:30 tonight. Board member Jeff Hack and Superintendent Tim Lutz, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Todd.
I'll be back to wrap up for this chat about and to preview tomorrow's show in just a moment.